Blog Talk Radio. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, bruised and broken by the fall. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pardoning love for all. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. He is able, he
come back. Father, I'm asking for a blessing for each and every one that joined the prayer line, Lord. Touch their heart. And, Father, allow them to give you the praise and honor and glory because, Lord, we come to this prayer line, Lord, to lift up prayers, to thank you, to praise you, and to glorify your name. Oh, Father, we thank you. We ask him for the blessing and that the speaker that will come on and speak tonight, we ask you to fill him with your spirit and bless him, Lord, with your word, and that we may hear what the Lord wants us to hear. And, Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us once again to be on this prayer line. Forgive us for our sins, and, Lord, let us see self, Lord, Father, self, and that this self needs to be changed into that glory that Christ has. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, as we are here on the prayer line tonight, we are. I'm just going to read one scripture. Someone has pressed one already. We ask that you press one, and we can start early. Now, brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem want to come on. He said he would like to start at 7:20. So we're going to ask that each one, if and I'll let everybody know if there's more than press one. But we would like to ask brothers and sisters to have a certain amount of time. Say, if you can give about 3 minutes, if you need to go over a little bit more, you know, we just don't mind. But we want to make sure everybody get a chance, and we want to make sure the speaker have enough time because he said he's coming on at 8:20 Eastern time. And we want to allow him to be able to speak. So let us open the line, brothers and sisters. Amen. And I want to share a scripture. I was coming from Psalm, but I'm in Hebrews right now, talking about how the man of honor. So I'm going to read Hebrews chapter, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. So as we see that Christ, our Savior, has made all these things in the world, all this was the works of his hand, you and I, and he want us to be able to keep his word and to love one another. So as we're on the prayer line, let us love one another and lift one another up in prayer. So we're going to begin to open the line for brothers and sisters that you can share your testimony. Amen. And the first that press one, amen. We got a couple. So let us open line 95232. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us. I'd like to give a devotion prayer. Dear God, I ask that in everything I do, may I express the love you have for your children and for the world. May I never be tempted to become judgmental toward anyone. I ask that you will only be concerned with loving everyone around me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I thank God for his loving kindness, and I thank him for being here for us, because without God, we will be nothing. And we just want to thank him. We love him, and we just want to thank him for everything. I ask for prayers for my family, for myself, for Advent Life family up and on the prayer line, for the church that's all over, for the just for the world in general, for the youth, because they're just still killing each other, killing people for no reason. And just ask for prayer, Lord, for the youth adult. And I just want to thank everybody on that Dent Light for all the work they do, all the wonderful works they do through God. And we just thank them for everything. Ask that the Lord continue blessing them with all the work they put in. Amen.
Amen. Brother John is there?
No, he's not here yet.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you, Sister Brenda. And I'm telling you, Sister Brenda, you sound so revived. I'm just giving God the praise to hear that you so sound so good and praising God, and even you sound like you're revived, you're strengthened. So praise God for that. So we
Amen.
Just thank you, God, on this prayer line. And you see what prayers have done for you, Sister Brenda. Prayers have changed and made you a person to be revived. And you're not getting a little slow. And I'm telling you, it's just the words are flowing. So praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller, and we're going to open the line for our brothers and sisters. Just see, brothers and sisters, what you have done through prayer. So we're going to open the next line for 423-635. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. I am calling from the beautiful city of Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, his love. Each and every day I get up with joy in my heart, a new song, and I give him praise and glory, every day. And also, you know, my prayer, you know, as it is lifted up to him in honor. But I just wanted to share the reading from John, chapter 16. I'm sorry, John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. It said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he prune it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abided in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So we're reminded that without Christ we can do nothing. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves alive. We cannot take care of ourselves. And it's because of the Lord, because of his mercy, his long suffering, his love for each and every one of us. We are still here by grace, and he wants us to abide in him, so that he will prune us, so he will reprove us and help us and strengthen us so that we can bear fruit. Because every tree has to bear fruit, because if the tree doesn't bear fruit, it's good for nothing and it will be cut down. So let us abide in the Lord. Let us be faithful and let us go to him and, you know, repent of our sin and seek him daily for wisdom, direction, wisdom, direction, and for him to guide us in this life journey. Amen. Thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening my line.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. And when I know that if I don't abide in Christ, I know that I'm dead. And it's dried up and it's just gone. And nothing else I could do other than revive when I pick up that word and let that word fill my heart, and the Spirit comes in and lead me and guide me. That's the only way, Christ says. So we must abide in Christ and for us to live. So I praise God for that. Thank you for that reading. And, you know, these readings is strength, and they are encouraging. The one that Sister Brenda read, these are encouraging. So, sisters and brothers, thank you so much for coming on and joining the prayer line, because we are here together to lift one another up and encouraging. And these words that you share, these are helpful, because without you, Sister Carla, it wouldn't be a prayer line. Without Sister Brenda, it takes all of us to come to make up this prayer line, to share, to show that love and to say things. So we thank you so much for coming on and sharing. So brothers and sisters, yes, press one and share. So we're going to go to the next call. So thank you once again, Sister Carla, for coming on and sharing. And God is so good for us to have been so long together and showing love and showing forth his goodness through him, because not one of us didn't show no good, but it's the goodness of God in us. It was called us to remain here. So thank you so much once again. So sisters and brothers, be patient. I will get to you. Amen. So we're going to open the next line. That's 518-951. Your line is open. Amen.
Okay. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Good evening to everyone. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. Good evening. I hope everyone have a blessed day. When I heard the song, it brings joy in my heart. There is not a friend like the love of Jesus. No, not one. My dear brothers and sisters, we just have to thank God, you know, for these promises, both in songs and reading. Even Sister Carla with the vine, you know, and the tree, you know, Sister Brenda presentation with her prayer. You know, we need each other, brothers and sisters, because there is coming to be a time when we won't be able to join in this form and this way on the YouTube or are listening, but there will be a time when we can love our brothers, a time when we can pray for our brothers and sisters, and we can always, dear God is so good, he is so great. We were praying the other day and praying on this prayer line for all our missing brothers and sisters who we used to. And out of the blue sky, you know, I can say God have been hearing and he have been answering our prayer. And brothers and sisters here on the line, I got a call from one of our dear beloved brothers and sisters, Sister Dixon from Tennessee, Texas. And dear, it was such a blessing hearing our dear sister voice. She have lost her mother few weeks in this period of both last year to this year. She have lost 3 family members. I think her mother, her auntie, and a cousin. And, you know, she's there doing good by the grace of God and asking us for prayer, you know, continue praying for her. And she knew that we were praying for her. So I just want to let you also know that despite we may not be hearing from our sisters and brothers on this line where we used to connect with, you know, they are still holding on and they are asking for prayer. So I'm asking you guys to remember Sister Dixon in her prayer. She's praying for, always praying for her children and her church family. God is so good. And the friend that we have known, not one, and he is Jesus. He is there to hear, he is there to listen, and he is there to answer our cry. So I just want to have a short word of prayer, brothers and sisters, for each and every one of us family before. I am not spending a lot of time, brothers and sisters, because we want everyone to share and, you know, and just to give praise. Heavenly Father, we come to you where you said we are 2 or 3 gathered together, doing your will. You are in our prison. So we want to thank you. We thank you for the good news of salvation. We thank you for your words that have been going out like wildfire in different parts of the world. We are having people who dedicate their life to you, give them all, give you all. Surrender, dear Lord, and go into watery baptism, dear Father, to join the wonderful, wonderful Jesus Christ, that they can be sure and make way as you make way for them to be ready, that when you come, they will all be there. I ask you to bless all those who went into their watery grave, dear Father. We ask you, Lord, to bless all the leaders, the ministers out there who are presenting your words of truth, Lord, by sharing books out there, presenting your word, bringing and drawing souls to you, dear Father. We ask you for strength, Lord, so for them. We know it's not easy, dear Father, for the ministers, them. They have their flock that they have to take care of, just as how you all world is in your hand. So we thank you that we have a loving, caring Father, loving, caring friend who care for us. So we lift up our dear family, Sister Brenda and Brother John and his family, Sister Leola and her family, Sister Carlo and family, Brother Rick and his family, dear Father, and the Caldeas family, Lord, we lift them up to you. The Richards family, we lift up them to you. And also, dear Father, we lift up Tamiko family, we lift up Sister Consinelli family, and Sister Moody family, we have not been hearing from, dear Lord. We lift up Sister Stephanie and her family, dear Father, to you. Brother O'Neill, Lord, Brother Hudson and his family, versus Brother Akeen James and his family, Lord. We lift them up to you, dear Lord, and all the families that join on this line. And tonight, Lord, we just ask you to allow your Spirit to move on this line. Allow your words, Lord Jesus, to be registered in our mind. Fill us, Lord, with your sweet, sweet Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. Sister Carlo and her family, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. The young people, the children, the youth, the babies, Lord, on this line. We lift them up, dear Father. What more could we ask of you? We thank you that you are such a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend, Lord Jesus, that sticks close to us, closer than a brother. So we want to give you all the praise tonight in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. God bless.
Amen, amen. Amen. We thank you, Sister Power. Always prayers. Oh, we thank our Father, our Savior, our God, whom blesses us to send us a mother and who prays and keep us all in prayer. So we're going to go to the next caller. And Sister Power, we are so happy to have you here and that you continually to pray and lift all us up. So we just pray for you that the Lord will keep you strong and bless you throughout all your days. Amen. So we're going to open the next line because we want to make sure everybody have time enough to share. So we're going to open this line, 518-744. Your line is open. Amen. And you can give your name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And, wow, it has been a cold, blustery day here in upstate New York. But, you know, God is good, and he has kept us safe and warm. And just listening in to all the callers, Sister Powell, Sister Brenda, Sister Carla, it's good to hear all the voices. And oh, what a blessing that Sister Paula heard from Sister Dixon, Sister Ella Dixon. We haven't heard from her in so long, and I just I remember her and pray for her. You know, when my mind is clear, some days I don't remember too much. But, man, it's good to hear that she is doing okay down there in Dallas, Texas. We used to hear from her almost every night Caroline was on. And, wow, it's, you know, God is good. He is keeping the brothers and sisters. And good to hear Sister Brenda and Brother John are doing well. I hope that they get moved into their home fairly quickly here. I know they've been displaced for quite some time. And I just praising the Lord for his goodness to me. We had such a great church service yesterday. The pastor had an exceptional message yesterday. It was just a blessing. And I was talking to my friend Kevin today. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. He had cancer. And, you know, we've been talking about his cancer and about what God is doing in his life. And he is leading other people to the Lord to join in the Bible studies, and he doesn't even know if he's going to be around for this year. Kevin doesn't, you know, and so he's just trying to make the most of his time that he has with his wife and leading his friends to the Lord. So just want to lift up Kevin in our prayers, and my wife is not feeling well either. She has got a cold. I've had it for 2 weeks. Mine is just about done. Taking a lot of natural remedies, and they have worked amazingly well. They haven't gotten rid of it, but they worked well enough to keep me functioning and keep my head clear and be able to do all the things that they do. And my wife has got it quite badly, and she's not feeling well, so we just lift her up in prayer. But Sister, I just wanted to pray for some of our missing people that we haven't heard from in a long time. I don't remember all of them, but I do remember some. I just want to pray for them, and I'll be done. So we can let others weigh in and you know, give their testimonies. But just praising the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Lord, I just want to lift up your holy name. You are so good to us. You not only protect us, you guide us, you keep us, Lord, but you save us. You save us from ourselves, from the power of sin, Lord, that so easily entangles us and so easily gets us tripped up and going in the wrong direction. But you give us wisdom that we need, Lord, that the power that we need to overcome. Father, that is something that we could never have without you. So, Lord, tonight, we just lift up our prayer line to you. This is your prayer line. It's been a blessing to many through the years, Lord. And, Father, I just want to remember a few of our people that used to come on, Lord. I think it's Brother Jim Finney, who was right there from the very beginning. Helping Brother Yudi and Sister Powell get the prayer line going, Lord. And Sister Naomi, who used to be on in the very early stages, Lord, and she used to come on and praise your name, Lord. She even posted sometimes 6 nights a week. Brother Yudi was busy working, but she was on every night, and Lord, we just lift her up to you. Father, Sister Ella Dixon, who Sister Powell heard from, we're just grateful that she is alive and well and still praising your name. Lord, please continue to be a servant of her family and guide her, Lord. Father, we just think of so many, Lord. I think of Sister Heidi, and I don't even remember her husband's name, Lord, but they hosted our first two Advent Light Camp meetings down in Cropsyville, New York, Lord. And they offered up their land that we could use, or we just lift them up to you, Father. We haven't heard from them in a number of years, or treated them, Lord. Father, I think of Sister Gray, who used to call from Florida. She had 2 young daughters, and used to sing such a beautiful song for it on the prayer line, Lord. We have not heard from her in many years, Lord. And, oh, Lord, we had so many young people, Brother Lester, Lord. I see him on Facebook once in a while, Lord. Please be with him and He was going to school with a whole group of young people who used to come to the camp meetings. We just looked at each one of them to you. Father, there are so many. I don't remember all the names. And I don't even know all the people. But you do. You know, you just lift them up. Father, we lift up Sister Leola as she is hosting tonight. And give her a double portion of your spirit tonight, dear Lord, so that she may lead and guide these conversations and this prayer line, Lord. Dear Brother Akeem, if he'll be coming on, Lord, and we appreciate his messages, Lord. They are a call to us for action, Lord. And Father, give us the strength, give us the knowledge, the wisdom that we need to act upon what we hear, not just listen and forget. Know that you have called us to be fruitful trees. And we want to be there, Lord, for you. Guide us and bless us, Lord. Forgive us and guide us into all that you have us to do, Lord. Give us the strength to do it, Lord. And when we are weak and failing, Lord, pray that we call out to you, cry out to you, Lord. We will hear, we will answer, we will take care. Thank you, we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Sister, I just had just two verses I wanted to share. I came across these just yesterday as I was reading the little devotional book, and I just want to read them to the listeners. Verses 4 and 5, I believe. No, that's not it. You know what? I will look that up and bring that on next time. It's not Isaiah 40. I can't remember where. I'll have to look it up again. But just praising the Lord for his goodness and thank you, Sister, for opening up.
Okay, so you don't have it yet, right, Brother Rich? You don't have it yet.
No, I've got to look it up again, Sister. I have a little devotional book that I was reading in. Oh, it was just some beautiful verses, and
okay.
I thought I had it in my mind. One second here, Sister. Let me just look again really quick. Because,
well, I'm going to just sing this song while I sing this. While I sing this song, you get it. I'm going to do a song. Are You Washed in the Blood? Amen? And you can get that scripture.
Amen.
Because we have no one else
first
one, so you can... You can get it. So go ahead, Brother Rick.
Okay, I'll look right now. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, brothers and sisters, we're going to share a song. Are You Washed in the Blood? And Brother Rick, just let me know when you're back on. I'm just going to mute you right quick.
Okay.
Amen. We're going to sing this song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in his crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb?
All your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is fountains flowing from the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, sisters and brothers, that's the song that is singing for myself. Because everything we read, it is for us. It's not for nobody else. But we are sharing the word of God, and this is for me. Amen. Are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? We have to be spotless, sisters and brothers. So I'm just going to open Brother Rick's line just in case he have it. Brother Rick,
yes,
your line
I have it,
is
sister.
Open.
Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You, thank
okay.
you, sister, for giving me a moment. It's Isaiah 50, not Isaiah 40. And, there's such a beautiful couple of verses here, Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. My devotional was talking about witnessing to others and how sometimes we feel inadequate. And in Isaiah 50, verses 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He awakes me every morning. He wakes my ear to hear as the learned. So, you know, when we oftentimes we don't feel adequate to speak to others, sometimes we feel like maybe we don't have enough knowledge. But the Lord will give us the tongue of the learned, those who are wise, those who speak good words, if we trust in him. He will show us how to speak a word in season to someone who is weary. He wakens us up each morning to hear as the learned. Then in verse 5, the Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. So when the Lord opens our ears, okay, we cannot be rebellious. We cannot turn back away from him. When he speaks to us, we need to answer and we need to obey. And if we do those things, the Lord will bless us with wisdom, with all that we need to do the work that he has set before us. You know what, brothers and sisters, we sometimes think, you know, oh, we're working for the Lord. Well, we are working for the Lord, yes, but we are working out our own salvation at the same time. The scriptures tell us to work out our own salvation, not meaning that we are going to work our way to heaven, but as we are helping others, we are helping ourselves, we are strengthening our walk with God, and it is benefiting us as much or more than the people that we are witnessing to. So we must be faithful in doing those things, and if we are, God will give us the tongue of the learned, those who have gone to school. We look at those sometimes with awe, and the true wisdom comes from the Lord. So let us remember that his wisdom, the true wisdom, the wisdom of the world, is nothing compared to what God has. And we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be ashamed of, as long as we are doing his work. So just thank you, sister, for opening my line. I just thank you for your song, too. And it's beautiful to hear those songs. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing that scripture with us. And, you know, we know what Revelation talks about when he's talking about hearing the word of God. He say, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Because only it's the Spirit that convicts us of in the word. So we need to,
Amen.
When we read or there's time that we need to hear, we need to be attentive and even go back
to God if we don't understand and ask him. But also, we have one more that done pressed one. We're going to open the line. But I'm going to thank Brother Rick first. Thank you for the prayer, and thank you for offering us that the scripture for is all encouraging. So we thank you, brother,
Amen.
For sharing that with us, and may God continue to bless you to bring us new light or new information. Amen? So we're going to go to
Amen.
The next call, and we're going to open this line. Amen. We open the next line for 857. Your line is open. You can tell us where you're calling from. Give us your name.
Hello, Sister Miola. How are you today? Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Ambueda Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Sister Miola, first of all, Sister Miola, I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because he is good. He is truly worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, God is good. He's awesome. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There is no one else like him, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request, my dear sister. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. And Sister Miola, please lift up dear Brother Javel in prayer, because Brother Javel stick his finger at me the other day. But Sister Miola, I'm asking you to lift up Brother Javel in prayer, because you know, Sister Miola, the enemy is using him. The enemy is using him, Sister Miola, like a roaring lion. Sister Miola, the enemy is using that young man. The enemy is using Brother Javel. His name is Brother Javel, Sister Miola. His name is J-A-V-E-L, Sister Miola. His name is Brother Javel, Sister Miola. But Sister Miola, I didn't do nothing to him, Sister Miola. I didn't do anything wrong to him, Sister Miola. Because Sister Miola, I have a loving heart, Sister Miola. I didn't do anything to him. I didn't do nothing to him, Sister Miola. But Sister Miola, he forced me out, Sister Miola. And I say in the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke that evil spirit out of Brother Javel in the mighty name of Jesus. And Sister Miola, me and Sister Tamik will spend time yesterday in prayer, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, God is good. God is merciful, Sister Miola. God is awesome, Sister Miola. Me and Sister Tamik will do Bible study, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, we study Matthew 4, verse, I don't know what verse, but me and Sister Tamik will spend time with the Lord. We pray to the Lord, Sister Miola. We cry out for help, Sister Miola. We cry out for help for Brother Javel to take up that evil spirit out of Brother Javel in the mighty name of Jesus, Sister Miola. I say in the name of Jesus, that evil spirit get out of Brother Javel in the mighty name of Jesus. Sister Miola, we spend time, Sister Miola, in prayer, because me and Sister Tamik will spend time in prayer, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, yeah. I don't know, in this line tonight, Sister Miola, I don't know, in this line, Sister Miola, can we spend time, pray, do a few prayers for Brother Javel, because the enemy is using him like a roaring lion. Can we do a few prayers on the prayer line, Sister Miola, because Sister Tamiko pray. Can we do that, Sister Miola, like a few prayers for him, for Brother Javel? His name is Brother Javel. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother Eli. Yes, we will be doing prayers tonight and lifting up Javel and Jahari, your mother, and you, Brother Eli, and all the other requests. We will lift those prayers up. And we just want to thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and always bringing the request to God to lift up the brothers and sisters or your friends and neighbors in prayer. So, yes, that will we do. So, brothers and sisters, there's no one else that's pressed one. So, yes, that's time to pray. So, brothers and sisters, if I will share a prayer. Brother Rick then shared a prayer. And we have just a few minutes, about 10 to 12, 13 more minutes to pray. So we're going to open the line for prayers, and we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters that have not been on the line and off the line. We're going to see if when, and brothers and sisters, and you know what? That's, you know, God hears the prayer. And when you pray, you pray and talk to the Lord. It's your prayers. And I'm going to ask Sister Brenda if she want to give a short prayer. We're going to have to give a short prayer because we want more than one prayer. Because when we pray, we talking to the Lord. Don't worry about when you pray, you ask God to teach you. And that's what I do. You know, we give it to him. So we're going to ask Sister Brenda. We're going to ask Sister Carla, and we're going to ask Sister Powell, Brother Rick. Sister Powell had offered a prayer, but we're going to ask Sister Brenda if she can offer a prayer right now. And Sister Brenda, it don't have to be a long prayer. It can be short prayer. Amen. Sister okay. Brenda, are you there? Okay, you can
yes.
offer a short prayer. Amen. You can go ahead.
Amen. Heavenly Father, come to you tonight on this prayer line, Advent Light prayer line, thanking you for giving us the opportunity to come together to praise you and magnify you and lift you up. We thank you for what you're doing for us tonight on this prayer line. We come on one accord to praise you. We thank you for our family, Advent Life family group. We want to pray for each and every one of the members on and off the prayer line. We ask that you strengthen them, heal them up, but they're torn down. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to praise you on this Sunday, and you for blessing us today. Thank you for waking us up last night. We thank you for getting us started and on our way. We're glad to be in the house today. We thank you for the speaker that's going to speak this afternoon. We thank you for Sister Leola with that beautiful song she sung. We just thank you for the mother on the prayer line. We thank you for all that get this prayer line together for us. We ask that you go to the sick house and bless those that are sick. We ask that you look at the ones on the street, Lord. Lord, give them a word to come in, Lord. Lord, bless them. Tell them that that's not the way of life, Lord. We ask that you go to the jail, Lord. Lord, give them a word. Father God, we ask that you go around the world. Anything you see that unclean, Lord, including us, Lord, we ask that you cast it out. Lord, cleanse us. We need a wash. Lord, we just want to thank you. We know that you love us because you gave your only begotten son. Father God, we know you blessing us right now. We thank you for whatever you do for us. We thank you in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. A beautiful prayer. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Amen, brothers and sisters. We thank God in praising him for prayers, and because God hears, he know our heart. So we're going to ask another Sister Carla. We're going to open up her line. If you are available, Sister Carla, it would be okay. You can pray. But we thank Sister Brenda so much for her prayers. Amen. And now we're going to open the line for Sister Carla. And amen.
Amen.
Sister Carla, are you able?
Yes. Amen. Yes, I'm at work, so I'll do a short prayer. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we know there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. We know your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. You said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, Knock and the door shall be open unto you. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, oh Father, and asking for you to come into our hearts, come into our home, our mind, oh Father, so that we can, our mind can depend upon you. It can be on heavenly things, oh Father. That's where our treasure should be, oh Father, so that rust or thief or moth or nothing will corrupt the treasures, oh Father, because they're with you in heaven, oh Father. You said, I go and prepare a place for you. Where I am, ye may be also, Lord. And we're waiting for your soon return. Give us patience. Give us wisdom, understanding, long-suffering, oh Father. And you said the things that we, that you have dealt with, Lord, we have to deal with, Lord. The persecution, oh Father, we have to go through our own persecution, our own battles, oh Father. But you said that you'll never leave us or forsake us. You will be there to help us to go through those things and be victorious. So we just thank you in the name of Jesus that you will deliver us from the hand of the enemy, that you will bind our hearts to you, oh Father, that you will convict us of sins, of trespasses, of iniquity, O Father, so that we can be cleansed from all our sins, Lord. Bless each and every one on this line. Oh, Lord, be with their homes, be with their loved one, be with those that they're interceding for in the name of Jesus, Lord. We touch an agreement that as we ask and seek and knock, O Father, that you will hear and answer and you will deliver those that are sick, those that are bind up with the devil, O Father, that you will deliver their mind, O Father, that they will give their hearts to you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you ever so much, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for lifting up the brothers and sisters and offering that prayer. Then I will offer a prayer, and then I will let Sister Power, I will ask Sister Power to do the last prayer, and she can also lift us all up once again. Our Father, we come to you once again, Father, to thank you, Father, for the blessing of the privilege of prayer, Lord. All prayers, Father, goes to you, Father. If we just lift our voice up to you and just ask you, Father, to come in our heart and to forgive us for our sins, Father, we would hear from you, Lord, as we are singing praise, we are reading and studying the word, Father. We just asking you right now to linger a little longer with us, Lord, so as we do your good will, Lord, Father, we will abide with you still. So, Father, as we trust and obey to you, Father, we ask that you would help us right now, Lord God, as we are about to go into your word. Lord, allow the word to be bound in our heart, and that our mind and our understanding, that we can absorb this word. Because as I was reading in Psalms chapter 49 and verse 20, the Bible tells us, that a man that is honored and a man that is honored, most of the scripture, but it talk about if he don't trust in the Lord, if he don't have the understanding, he is like a dead dog, he's dead like a dead beast. But we got to have that understanding of your word. So, Father, please help us as we go into your word tonight, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Help us to understand. And Father, also Brother Eli have been praying, and Brother Rick has been praying for this guy with cancer. Sister Brenda has been praying and thanking the Lord for the blessing of delivering her from ulcer. Brother John prayed for delivering him from cancer. I have prayed, Father, from delivering me from many things weight loss, praying, Father, appetite, Lord, still praying, Father. And Sister Carla is continuing to pray, Father, for the blessing of whatever she have in her heart, Lord, praying for her children, praying for her job, her clients. Lord, all these prayers. Sister Power mentioned Sister Dixon, Father, and all the others are praying. Oh, Father, Brother Rick mentioned his wife not feeling too good, Lord. You see all these requests, Father,
that has been made to you. Father, we asking you to answer according to your will. Lord, we know nothing but to come to you and lift up our head and call upon you and say, Lord, please hear our prayers and answer according to your will. Forgive us, Lord, and have mercy upon us tonight as the word of God fall on these ears, and that we may accept your word and live and be doers of your word, Father. So we thank you tonight for the blessing and the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the prayer line, and we also thank you for one another that's on this prayer line, even those that we haven't heard. Lord, we ask that you continue to be with them and their families, my family, my husband, Sister Stephanie. Lord, we can't begin, Sister Tamiko, Brother Eli, constantly such a loving and sweet young lady. Lord, we just continue to ask you to be with all of us on this prayer line. And we lift up Sister Power to you, Lord, as she's going to lift up prayers again, Father. We ask that you hear us, Lord, because your son, you have given your son for us, Lord, and that we can come to you in prayer and say, Father, the blood of Jesus have died, and that we can come to you and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your son. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, Sister Power, I'm going to ask you to offer the last prayer and lifting up Brother Akeem. Amen. We're going to open your line. Hold on just a second. Amen. We open up Sister Powell.
Okay.
Amen. Sister Powell, the line is open.
Yes. Okay. Yes, continue our prayer, Lord. The Christian life that you gave us in Matthew 5 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all these promises. We have heard, Lord, the requests from your dear brothers and sisters on this line, dear Lord, giving you all the praises and bringing glory to your wonderful name by presenting and petitioning our requests to you in the most holy sanctuary. Heavenly Father, I will not go over all the names. You know every name. You have recorded the names in heaven, dear Lord, where you are. So we present them to you, and we ask you, as you said, dear Father, blessed are those that mourn, for you will be comforted. So when our heart is broken, we have a loving Father, Father who cares for us, a Father who we can trust, a Father who is dear, dear Father, to comfort us when we are in pain, when we are in ache, when we are in distress, when our friend despitefully uses us, say bad words about us, put their finger up against us. We know, dear Father, you are dear for strength. Help us that we will recognize what the enemy is doing so that we can acknowledge the trick of the enemy and call upon you, because you are a loving Father who cares about us and know all our needs. Bless us and keep us, Lord. We present our speaker to you today. We ask you to hide him under the shadow of your Almighty. Allow the words that he will present, dear Father, will come straight from you. Enlighten us, rejuvenate us, reform us, dear Father, so that we will be different as you have given us the Christian life, Lord Jesus, and want us to live your life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for you shall comfort us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. We thank you for hearing. And all these prayers, Lord, I agree with every request. And we place it, Lord, at your feet in the most holy sanctuary. Hear and answer according to your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Powell. And Brother Akeem will be joining us in just a second. We're going to play just a short song. And this song, we're going to play. Amen. We're going to play this song. Okay. Give me just a second. And Brother Akeem will join us in just a moment.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did every saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
And amen. Brother Akeem have not joined us just yet, but he should be just a moment. I'm going to play one more song, too.
just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lord.
Okay, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry, brother, I came to a little longer. He definitely was in a meeting, so now he's on. So we're going to open his line, and, you know, he thought that he might be out at 7:20, but it took a little bit longer. So he's here, and so we're going to announce Brother Akeem is now here, and your line is open. Amen?
Amen. Can you all hear me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to continue in light of what we were studying last week, and I'm glad to be back on once again. As was mentioned, the meeting I was in went a little longer than I thought, and so had to head out. Thankful for being able to connect, Sister Leola calling me so I can get on. But today we're going to be continuing in our study concerning the work that we are called to do, the outpost work. And so just bringing that up for us so we can go over it. There we go. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that I can be here once again, that you have preserved our lives and my life to another Sunday. I pray that, Lord, as we look at the principles that you've given to us in this generation, that, Lord, you would help us to, by your grace, bring forth these principles in our lives, that indeed we may do a work that will bring about the finishing, or allow you to finish the work in us, and as a result, to do a powerful work in the world, which will finish the great controversy. I pray and I ask these things, Lord. Bless us as we study. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, friends. So, in light, just doing a little recap. Last week we went over once again the city work, and we went over it from the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. We looked at the personal labor aspect, house-to-house work, city missions, hygienic restaurant, church with school, and help food stores. We saw that this work was done in San Francisco and also Oakland, California. And the result of this was that a mighty powerful movement was set in operation. Inspiration actually tells us that this is the work, part of the work for our time. Medical Missionary, page 304, paragraph 1. It says here, medical ministry, I should say, page 304, paragraph 1, there is no change in the messages that God has sent in the past. The work in the cities is the essential work for this time. When the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. God calls for self-sacrificing men converted to the truth, to let their light shine forth in clear, distinct rays. And so this is the work, the essential work to be done for this time. The reason that this is so important to know is that as many seek to move out into the country areas of the nation and in other nations as well, this work must ever be kept in mind. We must not move so far out that it will be hard to work the cities that we are nearest. This is why it is vital for us to plan properly and to count the cost as we move out into the city areas. Many people are attempting to do this work, and they do not count the cost. They do not move in a wise manner. And the result is that many who move out into the country, they end up moving right back out into the city. Why? Because they did not plan. So much was lost as a result of taking a step without systematically preparing for it, that they lost their country home. Or maybe they held on to it, but they moved so far out into the country that it was hard for them to work the city. Some people are moving 3-4 hours into the country, and many times they're doing it for selfish purposes. And to them, it seems, they may not even think it's necessarily selfish, but they're doing that, and the way that you know it's selfish is that they're not doing evangelism, right? It's either that they're just going to church once a week, they have their country home, they feel great about it, and many of the principles that even the spirit of prophecy in the Bible calls us to enact as we are in the country, it's not even being done. And so this is why we have to be so careful to remember that the essential work to be done in this time is the work in the city. And so even as we move out into the country, we must ever remember it must not be so far in that we cannot continue to work the cities that we are nearest to. For as we do this work, it will bring out of us the greatest humility, the greatest reality of who we are and our need of Christ. It will humble us, and it will cause us to have a love for souls. It will lead us back to the scriptures. For as we reach out to people in these greatly populated areas of the nation or of nations, what happens is the challenges that come against us will lead us back to prayer. It will lead us back to a deeper study of God's word. It will lead us back to a greater appreciation for Christ and his truth. So this is why we have to continually be involved in the work of soul winning. If we are not doing this work, many times we become extreme. And this is what is happening to many of the people of God. More than the work of soul winning, they're going into deep darkness and studying things that are totally in contradiction to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, getting deeply into conspiracy theories, getting deep into going into things that have no verifiable facts connected to it, calling out people as Jesuits, having no evidence. Why? Because they have too much idle time on their hands. And so they're watching video after video after video instead of doing the work. Friends, may we do the work. For in so doing, our characters will become balanced. It will become more Christ-like. So now we have covered the work in San Francisco, California, which was synonymous, which was the same as the work that was going on in Oakland, California, which was in a different place. But as this was happening, the work was personal labor, house-to-house work, city missions, public evangelism, hygienic restaurant, church with school, and also health food store. We saw as this work was being done in San Francisco, many lines of work being done resulted in the warning message being given to many. And we saw last week the result of that, the result of this message being revived again, this work being done again. We saw in Matthew chapter 10 the result would be persecution. So it is when the work is being done that the result of it is what? The animosity of the enemy of souls, the anger of the enemy of souls coming against God's people with great fury. Why? Because he's seeing that a work is being done that is illuminating the minds of the people concerning his deceptive work. Now, while there is a work to be done in the city, and the result of doing this work will be persecution, us being brought before leaders to give an account of our faith. And at that time, it will really be to give an account of our faith. Why? Because what will happen is that we will be handed over to the courts, and we saw that the missing link between the people of God and them being handed over to the courts is none other than apostate Protestantism. It is as a result of Christianity, or I should say apostate Protestantism, or what we would call today evangelical Christendom, handing us over to the courts because they see a threat in the influence of our work. That will result in persecution. So Protestantism handing us over, or apostate Protestantism handing us over to the courts, in rage because of the influence we are having upon the people. This is what happened in Jesus' day. Lately, I've been listening to the book Desire of Ages. And friends, it brings it out so clearly that Jesus was never in trouble with the government until he was handed over by apostate Judaism, apostate religion, handed him over, apostate so-called professed followers of God were the ones that handed him over to Gentiles. In the same way this will happen at the end, friends. Jesus was handed, just as Jesus was handed over to the Roman government as a result of the influence of religious leaders because they felt threatened by his influence, so at the end of time, as the influence of God's people grows in the world, apostate Christianity, apostate so-called professed followers of God will hand us over. Religious leaders will be foremost in handing us over to the government. And that's the time when over an issue of what is truly religious liberty, we will then have to fight. That time has not yet come, but it is coming. Apostate Protestantism handing us over. It is at that time. That is what the chapter Liberty of Conscience addresses. That is what the chapter, The Final Warning, addresses. When the issue of church and state uniting, the church trying to combine with the state against God's people, resulting in not only the fusion of church and state, but resulting in a Sunday law, that is when the Liberty of Conscience chapter will be fulfilled. But there is another work, also along with the city work, gives us power as well. So the city work is only part of the work. There's another work to be done in the country as well. And so this is why, friends, the city and what we're going to find out is the rural work or the country work, they cannot be far apart from each other. This is why what we're going to read here, this is why we can't move so far away that it becomes hard for this work to be connected. So what is the work that is to be done in rural areas? I'm going to read it to you. This is found in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 358, paragraph 3. Repeatedly, the Lord has instructed us that we are to work the city. Here it is. So there's, we read what's supposed to be done in the cities, right? Personal labor, house-to-house work, city mission / public evangelism, hygienic restaurant, church with school, health food store. Those are supposed to be in the city. Our meeting houses, also known as our churches, our hygienic restaurants, our city missions, our house-to-house work, our health food stores, are to be in the city. However, inspiration also tells us this. Repeatedly, the Lord has instructed us that we are to work the cities also from outpost centers. In these cities, we are to have houses of worship, the church, as memorials for God. But institutions for the publication of our literature, for the healing of the sick, and for the training of workers are to be established outside the city. So do you see it? Our publishing houses, that's where we make our literature. Buildings for the healing of the sick, that's in a sense our sanitariums. And for training workers, that is our mission colleges, are to be established outside the cities. So there's a school connected to the church that's in the city, but now when it comes to the training of workers to send them out, mission colleges or our institutions such as colleges or universities should be in the country. It says are to be established outside the cities. Especially is it important that our youth be shielded from the temptations of city life. So what we're seeing here is that there is a sixfold work also to be done in the country while there is a sixfold work being done in the city. And what is that sixfold work to be done in the country? Health centers, places where we can heal the sick. Our farmhouses are to be in the country. Our missionary colleges where we train the youth or even people who are older to how to do evangelism, how to do the work. We train them in the mission colleges in the country. Our publishing houses, And also that will be then connected also in our in today's vernacular, it will also be connected to our media centers. Our media centers / publishing houses should be in the country. Then also our conferences /our conference admin offices. So our conference houses, the conference buildings, the buildings for each conference should be in the country. And then also our health food factories. Now, this is how we see this. This is how we know this. July 5th, 1906 of the Review and Herald, paragraph 7 states, in no uncertain words, the Lord has warned us not to establish large institutions in the cities. Out of the cities, out of the cities. This is the message that has often come to us. And this is one reason why the Lord has been opening the way so wonderfully for our publishing houses, sanitariums, and schools to be located in country places. That's, a.k.a. when it says schools, it means, it also means our mission college, our universities should be where? It should be in the country. The usefulness learned on the school farm, that's why we mentioned the aspect of the farm, right? The usefulness learned on the school farm is the very education that is most essential for those who go out as missionaries to many foreign fields. If this training is given with the glory of God in view, great results will be seen. No work will be more effectual than that done by those who, having obtained an education in practical life, go forth to mission fields with the message of truth, prepared to instruct as they have been instructed. The knowledge they have obtained in the tilling of the soil and other lines of manual work, and which they carry with them to their fields of labor, will make them a blessing even in heathen lands. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students, page 534, paragraph 1. Last Day Events, page 102, paragraph 2. The Huntsville School Farm is a most beautiful place, and with its 300 and more acres of land, should accomplish much in the line of industrial training and the raising up of crops. Do you see that? So there's industrial training, there's the tilling of the soil. All of these aspects are to be done where? In the country. This is the rural work. So I'll mention that again. In all the statements that we've just read so far, what have we seen? We've seen our health centers, that's our sanitariums, should be in the country. Our farms, along with the farmhouses on it, should be where? In the country, that we might be trained to do industrial work there and also trained to do the tilling of the soil, to plant and to reap, to sow and to reap. Along with this, our more serious institutions, such as our missionary colleges, where should it be? It should be in the country. So, yes, there may be churches connected to schools in the city, which we just read as part of the city work. Children being brought there, my parents, Adventists and non-Adventists, bringing their children there to be educated in some form of Christianity, learning how to read, and as a result, getting a religious education along with education in other practical subjects such as math, the sciences, all of these different things from a perspective of the Bible, yes, for sure, that's to be done. But when it comes to the training of the youth to send them out, or having institutions to train the youth to send them out, we are told in terms of the missionary colleges that we should establish, it should be in the country. Our publishing houses, which means it's not only Jesus published, we read in Scripture that Jesus not only published, he never published through writing, right? Jesus never wrote a book. But we are told his name was published abroad by others. Other people went scattering his name everywhere. One of the ways that publishing is happening today is not just through literature, but the putting out of media content, videos that are accurately presenting the truth, not conspiracy, but the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Of course, with the Bible being the emphasis, because we are presenting principles from the spirit of prophecy as it is shown in Scripture, right? Because you remember, you can't go up to an agnostic and say Ellen White says. You can't go up to an atheist and say Ellen White says, right? You can't go up to many a Christian, evangelical in nature, and say Ellen White says. You'll be shut down. Hence, inspiration itself tells us that while we must believe the testimonies of Seventh-day Adventists, as we present the truths for the time, we must present them from Scripture. And so, when we are presenting these things, whether it be through our literature or through videos, media centers, these media centers, along with publishing centers, they should be aware, are part of publishing centers, actually. Media centers are part of publishing the work. And our publishing centers should be established where? In the country, as we're reading here. Our conferences or conference admin offices, administration offices, should also be in the country. Our health food factories, right, where the food is produced, right, should be in the country. So all of these things we're reading here, and the last statement that I read was from Last Day Events, page 102, paragraph 2. And you know, this is powerful because we see this in a more simple form in the time of Jesus, in terms of the place where Jesus preached with most freedom was not in the synagogues, right? A ministry of healing actually tells us that no building in Palestine can hold the crowds that Jesus that were attracted to Christ. Multitudes came to hear him. And I always say this. This is why I tell people who say, especially people who believe in the present truth, they always say, "Hey, you know, as we preach the truth, a lot of people are not going to be in our churches. A lot of people are not going to fill up those pews. They're not going to come to work." And I truly believe that that is a lie. The reason being that as Jesus proclaimed the message, friends, many people were drawn, whether it be skeptics, whether it be people who are on the fence, whether it be people who were full believers, whether it be people who were religious, but they were antagonistic toward his ministry. They hated his ministry, such as the teachers of the law. Friends, the truth, even though the carnal nature hates the truth, the conscience of man, if not seared, is drawn to it. The truth, personified Jesus, we are told, is attractive. The problem is that many Adventists have copied evangelical ministers. And so as they preach the message, they try to preach like these ministers who claim to believe serious truth, and they're like, "Whoa, this guy is serious. He truly believes he truly believes aspects of the message, and he's not afraid to call it like it is." And friends, the reason that some of these ministers that many revere, that people are not drawn to them, yes, it is true. Many will be drawn to a lie. That is true. Multitudes will flock to a lie because it agrees with their carnal nature. But friends, multitudes will flock to the truth when it is preached like Jesus preached. And you know how Jesus preached? Devoid of self. You see, many times, as people are looking, maybe, and I say this respectfully, at the John MacArthurs of the world, or they're looking at Paul Washer. I believe his name is. It's either Paul Washer, I think it is, yes, or others. And these men are intense preachers, and they bring the message, yes, and they're giving the word of God, but it's contaminated many times with a harsh spirit. They speak the truth, but many times it is so harsh that many, they speak the truth to a great degree, but many are repulsed by it, not because it's the truth, but because of the spirit and manner in which it was given. We are told in inspiration, if someone gives the message of truth, but gives it with the wrong spirit or a harsh spirit, that that individual has denied the Son of God. They have denied him. A serious message, but with a harsh spirit. This is why I say, and I had to tell myself this, and I say it to many Adventists, especially among preachers, we have to go back to the great pattern. We have to come away from trying to emulate and imitate our favorite preachers, unless they are revealing something concerning the great pattern. Friends, we must come away from the aspects of their ministry that do not reflect Jesus. And we must go back to the abundance of truth that we have concerning Jesus and how he preached. Statements put together in books such as Voice and Speech and Song that told us that Jesus, while never suppressing one word of truth, spoke it always in love. That he sought to preach to the people and teach them the truths of God's word. Here it is. As much as they could bear it and not overload them. For you see, while Jesus knew that the message that he was giving was an urgent one, he knew that it was not to be rushed. He knew that it was not to pour out all of the truth on people at once and lose them immediately. And he knew, we are told, that as he gave this message, he gave it in such compassion and tenderness to the multitudes that heard him, that had it not been for that compassion and tenderness, the majority of the time, that the multitudes that were drawn to him would not have been drawn to him. Friends, the reason that many a church is small today as it concerns the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not because the truth is so unkind. Friends, many times it is because of the spirit in which we communicate the truth. The way that we are living it out is repulsive to other people. It is true that to a great degree the truth is not popular. But I tell you the truth, it is attractive. Hence, the only way that it can come out in its true luster is if we copy the perfect pattern. Not our favorite preachers, not our favorite ministers. We have to go back and read concerning how Jesus gave his messages and copy that. It says his voice was like a melody as people listened to him. They were drawn, as I said, from the greatest skeptic to the person who was on the fence, to the person who was a believer, to the person who totally hated his ministry. They were drawn. And friends, that's how our ministry will be. I know for sure we are not to have mega churches, but I tell you the truth, that hundreds will be drawn as we give the truth in the right way. And just as it was in the beginning days of this work, that so many were drawn that rather than having megachurches, they began to plant churches everywhere until secular news sources began to approach them and say, how is this church growing so fast? How is the Adventist church growing so fast? This was happening in the 1870s. You know why? Because they were copying the pattern. They were copying the pattern. All right? So, as we've looked at these statements, we'll read a few more as we start to wrap up here. It says, manual training is deserving of far more attention than it has received. Schools should be established that, in addition to the highest mental and moral culture, meaning we must tax the intellect as we study, or we must push the intellect, that's part of the work of our institution. But here it is, it's not only that. In addition to the highest mental and moral culture, shall provide the best possible facilities for physical development and industrial training. Instruction should be given in agriculture, manufactures, covering as many as possible of the most useful trades. Also in household economy. And friends, that is so important for the youth of this generation. I remember my mother and my father, and the habit has stayed with me till this day because of what they instilled in me. It resulted in the fact that when I go different places, if I'm there, I always make sure that whether it comes to cooking or cleaning, that these aspects are done. You have many of you today, and even many an adult, because they were never trained in household economy. You step into their houses, and you realize sometimes why they get sick so much, or why their lives may not be as organized as it could be. It's because as you step into their homes, you see things everywhere. They have not learned how to cook. They have not learned how to clean their homes, how to keep it clean. They have not learned how to practice proper hygiene. All of these things are part of household economy. But it doesn't end there. It continues by saying, it says here, helpful cookery, right? That's how to cook, sewing, hygienic dressmaking, the treatment of the sick, and kindred lines, gardens, workshops, and treatment rooms should be provided, and the work in every line should be under the direction of skilled instructors. In other words, people who have been doing this for years, people who have been doing it, well, maybe not even for years, but people who have mastered what they're doing. God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to him during the investigative judgment. This is the purpose for which we establish and maintain our publishing houses, our schools, our sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, and food factories. This is our purpose in carrying forward every line of work in the cause. What is the purpose? To give the third angel's message. And as a result, to prepare a people to stand true to God through that message during the investigative judgment. And why has God made this multifaceted way of reaching people with the third angel's message? It's because he knows that while many, yes, may walk into a church just out of nowhere, that people of a Christian background might say, you know what, I'm living in this area and I'm looking for a church, and I saw this weird name up the street of a church. It's like, I think it's called Seventh-day Adventist. I think I'll check that church out because it's the nearest church to me. You will have those situations. But friends, then you have the atheist and the agnostic, the skeptic, who, while not interested in coming into a church building, they're interested in health. You have the New Ager, who, while spiritual, does not like Christianity or may not like the church setting. But you know what they are into, though. They're into health. And so they come into our sanitariums, or they may come into our city. They may be living in the city and go into our cafes or our hygienic restaurants. And as they see what's being done there, they end up being introduced, whether it be by tracts, whether it be because they noticed that their health was getting better through the food that they were eating. And they're like, man, what else do you guys offer? And then we're able to offer them the spiritual aspect of what we're doing, the third angel's message. It may not be at first in its depth, but to prick the mind by giving them simple principles from the third angel's message, Christ, our righteousness, which is the heart of the third angel's message, and other aspects of it. And people are introduced. All of these facilities, health centers, farms, missionary colleges, publishing / media centers, our conferences, our health food factories, our hygienic restaurants in the city, our health food stores in the city. What is the purpose of God in doing this? To introduce people to the third angel's message, that they might then, after receiving that message, stand in the judgment hour, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is the work, the complete work, in the city and in the country. So as we read, in the city, what's the work? Personal labor. That's the work in your sphere of influence, personally. House to house work, going 2x2s to the different houses in your community. City mission / public evangelism, renting out the halls and the community centers in your community to hold, whether it be an evangelistic series, whether it be like my mother right now and later on myself. We are, we're actually seeking to get certified in Weimar, in Weimar's depression recovery program, that we can hold courses in community centers and help people in an age where mental issues are at an all-time high. Renting it out not only for that, but to introduce spiritual topics, to introduce health topics. Not only that, going and finding a place where we may be able to rent a facility where we can begin doing the hygienic restaurant work. Finding a place in the country where we can get resources to build a facility where you can have a sanitarium. Things of these sorts. God is saying, this is what the work is all about. This is the systematic work that is supposed to be done. So I'll read it to you guys once again, and then we'll close. The city work, personal labor, house-to-house work, city mission / public evangelism. That's the community centers and the halls in our cities. Hygienic restaurants, a church with a school where we can train little children or educate little children in the Bible and in other topics as it relates to Scripture. Health food stores. All of these, city work. Rural work or country work. What is supposed to be done there? That's where our health centers are to be established, a.k.a. our sanitariums. Our farmhouses, so people can learn how to grow crops, how to plant and how to reap, how to sow and how to reap, how to learn manual labor, how to learn mechanics. That's the aspect there. Missionary colleges to be done in the country. That's where we train the youth now to send them out to do the work. Our publishing / media center should also be in the country. Our conference administration offices should also be in the country. And our health food factories, where we produce the things that we sell to the city areas, should be in the country. So this is the twofold work, the city work and the country work, that when coming together under the right converted spirit is to be the systematic witness that will end the world. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness." In other words, the people have to be able to see the power, the systematic power of the gospel, yes, in our lives personally, as our characters are transformed, that's part of the witness. But friends, in Old Testament Israel, the people, the pagan nations, feared Israel and its God. Because as they looked upon Israel, they saw a people that in their systems, in their setup, and in their laws, and how they operated, they were far in advance of other nations. Even how they were systematically set up around the sanctuary in the wilderness. Nations looked at this and they feared the God of Israel. As they saw Solomon in his kingdom before he apostatized and the systematic way in which he organized the kingdom, according to previous revelation, friends, it caused people to see Israel as a systematic people. It was a witness. And in the end of time, God has given us systems that we must set up, which we just covered. And as that systematic revelation is given, systematic witness, it says, when this witness is set up, then shall the end come. The world must see this revelation. I pray that this made sense. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, I pray that, Lord, we would study this work more and that we would give ourselves to it. Help us to give of our time, of our resources, to build up this work, that we may do it, Lord, by your strength. For, Lord, we cannot do this in and of ourselves. As inspiration says, self-sacrificing, converted men and women are needed to do this work, that the witness might begin in their own personal lives, and then as they enter into this work from a converted platform, what will happen is that a further and even greater systematic witness will be given as we follow the blueprint that you have given us here. May we, in this generation, rise up to take on this challenge, Lord, which is really a work that it's challenging in the sense that it continually refines our characters as we win souls through it. Help us to come up to this work. Help me to come up to this work, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is Take Prayers, because the work that Brother Akeem just given us, yes, I can see this take self-denying, deny self. Brother Akeem, you have brought this message in, and we can't see nothing but Christ, a change character that can do this work. How the country, you know, I think of going to the country, brothers and sisters, we're in the country, and seeing how we are dealing with one another. Oh, that's tough, my brother. And we do know we got to trust God, and the Bible says God is able. It's nothing in us. Oh, my. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to ask if anyone have a question for Brother Akeem. Okay, I'm talking about concerning this country bringing out in the country sanitariums and things that we need to provide, and giving a health message, but yet in the city, Brother Akeem, my mind can't function this, see, but, you know, yeah. Because I've done cooking, I've done something like this in the, well, I wasn't city, but I've done this in the country city. It's where we live is partially, it was more country, but it's somewhat city, little small. But when I was serving as the people that desire for me to cater to them, there was, you know, we just don't support one another. So, and that's my problem. So, sisters and brother, if you have something to share, I'm asking you to take yourself off and then put yourself back on if you want to say something. Let me just open Sister Powell. I don't know if she have, because I have too many hands up. So, Sister Powell, I know you have this work in Jamaica. So, I don't know if you want to say or ask the question. Sister Powell, you there? Open wrong line. Hold on, Sister Powell. Open Brother Rick. Hold on. Let me open Sister Powell's line. Sister Powell, I know you have this work. So do you have a question or you like to say something?
No, my. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, brothers and sisters, this is a work that, you know, it's called for God, and I'm telling you, this is all God going to have to get this work according, and So go ahead, Sister Powell, if you have something.
Cecilia, okay. Just my observation, you know, this work here that we heard, right, what's supposed to be done. And I agree with every word. But this work that the Lord is saying, because we read several states that, you know, we have to work the city, right? We have to do the work in the city. But at the time we were counseling, got counsel that it's best for us to get out of the city to the rural country where we can get a small piece of land, right, and that we can do for farming. And we know that it is very important, the farming in the country, and also to raise our children, you know, with the nature, nature God and everything. That's the command, right? So when we heard all these things, you know, people need to be educated, right? Well educated, because we find out that people leaving the city, right, they're leaving the city. They may do their work for years. They are in the city. And because of these councils and what is going on, and they see various crises that is happening, a lot of people leave out and go without educating, without knowledge, wisdom, or the council, and they leave. So I think, you know, this work here that we have and what we have been hearing, you know, it has to be more widely educated to the people of God who is looking forward for the coming of Christ. You know, we need more education about this. And, you know, I agree with all that I heard, but people need to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Okay, amen. I guess amen. I got to listen and see where to begin, because this is something, you know, I've been in Louisiana all my life and right here in the plantation, I guess. But anyway, God is able. I know God is able to do anything but fail. And we know if we just trust him, that's all we can do. Trust him, and how he's going to do it, I don't know, but I'm just willing to learn something. Amen. So thank you, Sister Paul, for coming. And I tell you, Brother Akeem, you know, all we can do is keep reading, and you keep bringing us the message. And by God's grace, we got to figure out how this could be done.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you're going to – this is another part to this, right? You got to bring more?
Yes, yes. So I'll bring more so of the results next time again. But, yeah, this is what I presented is the main aspect, the two parts that I was promising you all. So this tonight I presented the second part.
Okay. All right, then. Well, we're going to close out because it's a little late and let everybody go. But we thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing this message and teaching us these things. So we thank you, and we ask that God is be that God's word will be done, and we can follow. Amen. So God bless everyone, and we hear you on Thursday. We have our next health talk on Thursday. So everybody have a good night, and God bless. Amen. And I will just play. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I'm just going to close out.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child.